It's an unusual sermon. I'm not going to say turn to 1 Thessalonians today. Because I was reading in my devotions as I do, and I tell you this, and I'm honest when I tell you this. I read alongside of commentaries when I read my devotions because I want to better understand. And as I was reading through the book of Job, been doing a study on Exodus and Leviticus because we're going down to the tabernacle to see a live demonstration of the tabernacle. And so I've been studying that out and just tremendous truths that I'm receiving from it. But this, a truth came up, and this is an unusual message. You're going to sit back and say, that was strange, Pastor. But it's a truth that came up from one word that I've never seen before. And so I want to give you the long introduction and to a short closing, hopefully, so we get out on time. But this truth just, I know it's not for everybody, but the Spirit of God grabbed hold of my heart and said, you need to present this truth. Because there's somebody either through live stream or in the auditorium on Sunday that's going to need what I'm going to give you. And so it's for somebody. But it goes back to the life of Job, and you've heard this, most of you know it, but I need to go through the background of what took place to be able to understand what I'm trying to show you, just one word, one verse. And in Job chapter 1, verse 6, it says that there was a day when the sons of God, those are the unfallen angels, the angels that stayed with God, not the ones that followed Satan, but when the sons of God, the good angels, came to present themselves to the Lord. And I don't know what took place there. But they came to present themselves to the Lord, and we don't know. The Bible isn't clear on why they did. Maybe it was just to praise God. Maybe it was to report about some of the responsibilities that God has given them as they watch over God's people. I'm not sure, but they came to the sons of God to present themselves before the Lord, and then Satan came amongst them. And why would Satan come? Well, he knew the routine. He'd been one of the, I believe, archangels of God, one of the highest angels that was in heaven before God cast him out because of his sin. So he knew the routine. And he came before God as well when the sons of God came. Satan was the only one who came, but one of the titles for Satan is he's an accuser of the brethren. That's one of the titles that is given to Satan. And I think that's what he did. He came to accuse the brethren. You know, you do this, you bless this person, you do this, and yeah, I see a different side. I see a different side of them. He came to accuse the brethren before the Lord. And so God asked him a question in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, he talked directly to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like unto him in the earth, a perfect or mature and an upright man, one that feareth God and hateth evil? He said, I'd like to hear what you say about Job. He is a godly man. He loves me. He hates evil. And it's interesting to me because Satan had an answer to the Lord. And in verse 12, it said, the Lord said unto Satan, let me go back a little bit. Satan said, yeah, you bless him. He has so much. It's interesting. Satan isn't omniscient, doesn't know all. God does. Satan isn't omnipresent. He's not everywhere. But when God said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan knew about Job. I found that very interesting. So he looked at Job. And he said, yeah, sure. Job serves you and lives for you. And he's all those things you said he was, but it's because you bless him so much. He has everything. And this is in the time probably of Abraham, so we're going back. And that's why Job was probably considered the first book of the Bible to be written, because Moses wrote the law, but this is before Moses' time. And so he said, because you bless him so much, it's easy for him to follow you. It's easy for him to obey you. It's easy for him to praise you. But take away. Let me take away all those blessings. And we'll see the response. And the Lord said unto Satan in verse 12, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I love this. There's so many things I love, but this isn't the message. But Satan can only do what a God allows him to do. He said, okay, you can touch all that's his. You can do anything you want what's his, but don't touch, don't lay a finger upon Job. And Satan had to obey God. You know, it goes back to the story that we've covered on Wednesday nights when he cast out the demons and they went into the swine. They came to Jesus and said, please let us go. And they had to ask permission. Satan and his angels, his demons, cannot do anything without God's permission. That tells you the power of our God. So why doesn't God just destroy him? He will one day. He'll cast him into a bottomless pit. Then he releases him one last time. And then he sends him to what he created for them, hell, the lake of fire forever and ever. Oh, their judgment's coming. But for now, God just said, okay, do anything you want to Job. Just don't take away or touch his, you can't lay one finger upon him. And so I don't know how long, the Bible doesn't say, but all of a sudden one day Job's out, and it's just his godliness, and I don't have time to go into his life because I want to get to my point. All of a sudden one servant came running to him and said, the enemy have come and slain some of your sons and your daughters, and they've taken away all your animals and everything. And it seemed like his children sort of ran the farm for Job, but everything belonged to Job. And they said, they've taken them away and they've killed all your children. And then right after that, a second servant came running back out of breath. He came running and he said, I've come to report that fire came down from heaven. Probably lightning. That would be my guess. And it struck the whole farm. Everything went up into a blaze. And everybody but me was killed in the fire. And I'm the only survivor of it. I don't know how long, maybe moments, maybe a while later, a third servant came and an enemy had come again and killed some more of his family and taken all their camels and their goats and their sheep and taken it away. And he said, I'm the only one that survived to come and tell you. Satan left one person each time and he destroyed and killed everybody else. Then the fourth one came. How much can Job bear in one day? You think you get some bad reports? You think you have some problems? All of a sudden now the fourth servant came unto him and said, a great winds, I'm guessing a tornado, came and just demolished everything and everybody. And he said, I am alone, the lone survivor. And at that point, Job lost all his family. It's interesting to me. I don't mean to be mean here, but it's interesting. Job took all his children away, but he left his wife. He left his wife because he knew that she was going to try to discourage him later on. He took all his family and all his possessions, gone in one day probably, in moments. You talk about losing everything. You talk about, that's like you have a death of somebody, the doctor in the same day tells you have cancer, you lose your home, a fire comes, and you lose everything in one day. Put yourself in Job's shoes. And here's what Job's response. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's amazing to me. Well, the story doesn't end there. Because there's a second day, a second time that the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord. And Satan came a second time. And it's interesting, as he came the second time, Jesus or the Lord said the same thing to Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan in chapter 2, verse 3, hast thou considered thy servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and hates evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou move me against him to destroy him without a cause, I allowed him to lose everything without a cause, yet he still worships me. Have you considered my servant Job? Well, that Satan couldn't take that for an answer. And he pushed again, and in verses 4-6, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. God said, I think you're wrong, Satan. But I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna let you do whatever you want to him. But the only thing you can't do is take his life. But you can do anything else you want to him. I don't know if you can comprehend that, but Satan went after Job in a way that no man's probably ever been gone after. And in verse 7 it says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, the crown of his head. I mean, he gave him boils. I've only had one time I had a boil from a bike accident and riding down, and I slid about 50 feet on the pavement and it got infected and it was a boil. And I'm telling you what, it hurt more than any other injury I've had. But it went away. But from the bottom of his feet, probably on his feet, to the top of his head, Satan filled him with boils. I can't even imagine the agony and the pain that Job went through. But here's the verse. It's verse 8 that God grabbed hold of my heart with. And he took, Job took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down amongst the ashes. He took a potsherd. That's the message. And so what's a potsherd? He took a potsherd and scraped himself from the bottom of his foot. You'd think his wife would do that for him, but no. Job took a potsherd. It was a broken piece of pottery. Now, I don't know what that pottery was. Maybe it was a bowl. Maybe it was a plate. Maybe it was a pitcher that poured water or juice. Maybe it was a planter that planted and held the soil. Maybe it was a vase. Maybe it was a cup. I don't know. But imagine in its time, it was beautiful. I've seen some of the work that Denise has done, that she sells at those sales she goes to. Her work is beautiful. I don't know what this was. The Bible doesn't say what it was. But it was a useful, and it was created for a purpose, either for serving, for holding, for pouring, for holding a beautiful flowers as a vase. It was created with a purpose in mind, but somehow that vase or that cup or that plate was broken. I don't know if it got knocked off a shelf and it dropped and it shattered on the floor. I don't know if somebody was angry and fit and smacked it down in a fit of anger. The Bible doesn't say, but we know there was a broken piece of pottery. That's a potsherd. And the Bible says Job took that broken piece of pottery. And it used it to scrape the boils on his hand and his arms and his face, his whole body. And it brought an element of comfort to him. A broken piece of pottery. Now you gotta know how my mind thinks. And the message that I wanted to present to you, there's probably some broken people on the sound of my voice, whether it be in this auditorium. God created you and put you here for a purpose. Somewhere along the line, that purpose was broken. I don't know what it was. Could have been maybe a divorce. A divorce that just upset the apple cart, so to speak. For a man or for a woman. And it just became a thing where you just, it just created great problems for you and you were broken. Could be a financial situation. Not anything maybe you did wrong, but your company, you worked for a good company, made a good salary, and maybe because of COVID or other reasons, the company just went bankrupt. It just couldn't function anymore. You lost a good job. You haven't even been able to find anything else that's even comparable. It could break you. Some folks have been broken by alcohol. They become alcoholics. They started when they were young, maybe, and just to get away from the pressures of job or life, and pretty soon they couldn't be without it. And their life became miserable. People didn't enjoy them at home. Driving drunk, they might have hit another person. Their life was broken. Could be drugs. It's very possible today. Pornography. Many other things that could take a person and just zap the life out of them and be broken, like that vase or that pitcher or that cup that was broken and no longer could fulfill the purpose that it had. Could be a family situation where your children have gone wayward, and really the hardest thing I can imagine in life, someone that a child does not want to talk to a son or daughter, your child doesn't want anything to do with you. I mean, your children are your life. Or maybe a child has died. God's taken him away from you, and it broke you. Could be you fell into sin with immorality, and it created some real situations in your home, at work, in your life. It might be your health. God broke you when the doctor, you heard those words, as I heard, as my father heard. I'm sorry to tell you, Brian, but you have cancer. Those words are very powerful words. But there's many other things and health issues that are there, and you've become, some have become, felt useless. They can't function like they once did, and they become broken. I know that's not all of you. But there's a reason the Holy Spirit said to my mind, and I couldn't get this passage out of my mind, that Job took the potsherd, that broken piece of pottery that was lost its original purpose. But he became a huge blessing to Job because he took it and he scraped the pus out of all the boils, and he scraped the boils, and for a few moments it brought some peace and some satisfaction and some comfort to him. That broken piece of pottery became special to Job. That broken piece. I'm talking to somebody that's broken. For whatever reason, you're broken. It could be of no fault to you. It could be your health. It could be finances. It could be home. It could be divorce. I don't know what your situation is, but I'm looking at somebody, and I'm talking to somebody, if not hear the sound of my voice, because the Holy Spirit said, preach this message. There's somebody who's broken. You've been broken. And it hurts. You have the attitude, what can I do? What can I do for God? What can I do for my family? What can I do in life? Now, I know this broken piece of pottery wasn't alive, but it was created by somebody for a purpose. And when it was broken, it was cast aside as trash or junk or uselessness. But the Bible says Job took that potsherd, that broken piece of pottery, and with that, he scraped with himself, with that piece of potsherd, to bring some peace and some comfort. I'm telling you, you may be broken this morning, but God still can use you. You may have made some bad choices in life, and you figure there are some consequences to our sin. And you may be broken and say, what can I do for God? What can I do for anybody? And that's what people said about that piece of pottery. Except that piece of pottery became very valuable and very useful to Job. It was repurposed. Oh, for what it was intended to be? Nope. But it became a blessing to Job. The same as you can become a blessing to somebody. I wrote down just a couple things here. Let me give them to you. The broken pottery had some limitations. It had new limitations. That broken pottery could no longer hold water or serve or function like that. Its brokenness had eliminated that function. And the same could hold true when sin has shattered our lives. We have some new limitations from the scars of sin. There may be even some things that disqualify us from church leadership and positions in a church. Yet that doesn't mean that God is through with you. See, that broken pottery was still repurposed and was useful, but it had some new limitations. But that broken pottery had a new purpose. Job saw the potential in that broken piece of pottery. Its original purpose, again, could hold water or grain or plants or flowers. Now that it has been broken, it could not serve that purpose. But it could offer comfort and cleansing by scraping the pus from the wounds of Job's body. The pottery, even though broken, found a new purpose. But I think that pottery, that broken piece of pottery, that potsherd, had a new effectiveness. In its broken state, the pottery discarded, lying in a garbage dump, yet in the hands of Job, it became an effective source of comfort as he scraped his wounds. It became an effective and useful tool for an unpleasant task. God does the same with us through Jesus Christ. You may be broken, but God has a plan, a purpose, something for you. Oh, it may have new limitations. It may have a new purpose. But that broken piece of pottery, that broken life, can have a new effectiveness. That broken piece of pottery, that broken life, can have a new value. When the pottery was new and whole, it was valuable and perhaps very beautiful. But when it was broken, it was considered worthless by those who discarded it until Job found the value in its broken condition. It was valuable to Job because he was hurting and needed to find relief. He saw the value of that broken potsherd for that very purpose. I don't know who it is, but there's somebody out there in their minds Your mind and your life, you've been broken. You've, in your mind, said, I'm useless. Maybe it's just old age. We have a lot of that in this church. Maybe it was divorce. Maybe it was financial. Maybe it is health. But you're broken. And you know what? You probably can't do what you used to do. That piece of pottery that was broken will never serve its purpose again. But it found a purpose to give comfort and relief to Job. I couldn't get that out of my mind. That there's somebody who needs this message. And I took it, and I took that thought as it took over my mind over the last couple weeks. And I wrote down this phrase, God sees something in us even when we don't see it in ourselves. You know, just give me, let me end with this illustration real quickly. Israel had fallen into sin in Gideon's day in the book of Judges. And God brought in the Midianites, and they overtook they oppressed the literally, it wasn't a battle where they battled and they defeated them. They just came in and took over Israel because Israel was in such an awful state. And when the Midianites did that, the Amalekites saw it and came in, and they just mocked the Israelites and took advantage, and they became their owners, so to speak, and they took everything. You would go out in the field and you would harvest your food, and when it was all harvest, they would come in and steal it. You would press the grapes and get your juice and the wine that was there, and they would come in and steal. They'd let you do all the work, but they would take everything. They took everything. They'd come into your home and just take it right off your table. They could do anything they chose to do. And that's where you find the story of Gideon. He was out in a cave threshing wheat and making probably wine, but he was doing it in secret, in hiding, because he was afraid for his life. He was afraid of the Midianites, and he was just trying to survive the best he could. Honestly, he was a wimp. And he says that because an angel comes to Gideon and says, thou mighty man of valor. Could you imagine Gideon? Who are you talking to? He said, you don't know much about me. We're in the smallest tribe of all the tribes. Our tribe is the smallest. And if you read it closely in Gideon or Judges chapter 6, not only is our tribe the smallest, my family is the poorest in that tribe. And not only is that tribe the smallest, and my family's the poorest, I am the weakest of all in my family. I mean, I'm the bottom of the barrel. Yet God sees the potential. And I want you to know this morning. God doesn't need you. He can do anything he chooses to do. And so he told Gideon to do a couple things, and Gideon obeyed and tore down the prophets of Baal and did some things, and everybody got mad at him. And he threw out the fleece. He said, God, I don't know about this. Look at the Midianites. They're as the sand of the sea, the Amalekites. There's hundreds and thousands of them. And God raised up an army, or an army came to join Gideon because they were sick of it. And they had an army of 32,000 people. What is 32,000 against hundreds of thousands of enemy people? And God came down to Gideon and said, wow, Gideon, that's way too many. So he's telling him, anybody who's afraid to go to battle, afraid you're going to lose your life, afraid of that, leave. 22,000 left. Left him with 10,000. And Gideon said, God, the odds aren't in my favor. And God said, I know. Your army's still too big. So go tell him to lap water, get a drink out of the pond that was there, the water that was there. And he said, you watch the men, the ones who just stick their head into the ground because they're thirsty in water. Those are the unprepared soldiers. Let them go. And the ones who lean down and lap up the water and keep an eye out for the enemy and drink from their hand, those are the ones you want. You know what it left him with? You know the story. 300. 300 against the multitudes, hundreds of thousands. See, God didn't need anything. God just simply had a plan. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to accomplish what Gideon did as he went up, and you know the story, the light was in the jar, the trumpet, and they broke the light as they divided around the mountains and broke the light and blew the trumpet, and Midianites and Amalekites just went crazy and began killing themselves. God used Gideon to defeat two armies so much greater than Israel. I thought, God doesn't need a lot. He just needs you and me. But there's a lot of broken pots out there. There's a lot of broken lives out there. You don't see your value. You don't see your usefulness. And maybe you'll never accomplish for what God intended you to do because of maybe some choices you've made or some situations that have come into your life. But let me tell you something. God has a plan for you. Oh, it may have limitations, but it has a new value. It has a new purpose. And it has a new effectiveness. There's somebody under the sound of my voice that needed this message because you've been broken. You consider yourself useless. But God has a plan for your life. So every time I see a plate or a cup, I think of Job. They picked up that broken piece of pottery. That became literally the only relief he found. That broken piece of pottery. I wonder how many broken pieces God could take and use to make a difference in somebody's life if they were just usable. The potsherd. Maybe that's you. Maybe somebody in this auditorium, maybe somebody in the sound of my voice by our live stream. But there's somebody out there that's been broken. You consider yourself useless. But God has a plan. And God has a purpose. The broken potsherd. That's what it was for Job. What is God going to do and can do like Gideon in your life? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for wonderful attention this morning. I couldn't get this thought out of my mind. There's a lot of broken people out in the world today. A lot of suicides today. Because people are broken and depressed. There's a lot of older people that think they're useless in our church. I know that. You're broken. But simply, God used a broken piece of pottery to be a huge blessing to Job and bring comfort and relief. Maybe that's what God wants to do with you. You're broken this morning. Let me tell you something, folks. God wants to use you.